This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 14th, 2009. I'm Caleb Brown. With a Democratic president intent on centralizing more power in Washington, will the GOP simply coast or actually fight to limit government? John Samples, director of the Cato Institute Center for Representative Government, comments on the elections of 2010.
Given the response to attempts at health care reform, town hall meetings, tea parties, and the unpopularity of this Democratic-controlled Congress, what are possible GOP strategies going forward?
Well, I think the first thing the GOP is going to be thinking about is just doing nothing and continuing to let time pass so that they can pull themselves up off the floor. What I do see in private conversations and so on, though, is a willingness to admit that there were a lot of mistakes made during the Bush administration, that the divergence from a more traditional limited government rhetoric, at least on the GOP side, at the behest of President Bush, was a political mistake. It's hard to deny that given the results of 2006 and 2008. So that's sort of sifting through and the willingness to begin looking for targets of opportunity. But I do still feel it's a party that is maybe has turned a corner or maybe more appropriately bounced up off the bottom, but not one that is yet fully got the bit in its teeth and is ready to run back toward assuming power and finding out what exactly it's about, its message is, in this environment. More than anything else, like the Democrats in 2006, I think they don't have a lot to do through Congress, and they just simply want to let the Democrats do bad things to themselves.
Now, you said that was the strategy, essentially, of Democrats in 05 and 06 was to let the Republicans continue their meltdown. What hope is there then that a Republican revolution would mirror that of 1994, at least in terms of ideas that they attempt to connect with people that are free market, more libertarian in nature, that they actually put out there?
I think just on the surface, the probability that the Republicans will take back the House is now has to be considered less than equal. It's you know, the number, I would say subjectively, is maybe a 30% chance or less. The likelihood that the Republicans will make significant gains in the House, I think, is quite high. I think you could easily see, and this might be the best outcome from a point of view, given everything, the way things are, might be the best outcome for the limited government perspective, is that the Democrats have a single-digit majority in the House and significant losses also, maybe even down to 55 or so on the Senate side. So you don't end up with divided government, which in some ways would be ideal. But you do end up with a strong message of rejection of the Obama agenda that would be not quite as thoroughgoing as the rejection of the Clinton agenda, but is certainly it will bring things to a halt, in part because those 10 members and more will still be from Republican districts. There'll be Democrats in Republican districts, and Nancy Pelosi will not have the plausible liberal majority in the House. The big wild card here, there's several, but one, of course, is how health care, if it passes, is received. It could be, I think, disastrous for the majority. Once the understanding of the actual cost, the allocation of cost, changes in tax rates, particularly on middle and lower middle class people, once that's understood, even though it doesn't go into effect for some years, you might well have a strong response to it.
Well, don't you naturally have the opposing party make gains after the election of a president of a party, of a certain party?
On average, the numbers are in the 20s in the House side, in part because the president brings people in. This certainly happened in 2008. And I think there is a certain truth here that we're seeing in the public opinion polls, which is that 2008 and 2006 overstated matters, I think, on the amount of shifting to the Democrats. It was more a rejection of the Bush administration and the Republican leadership than, say, Virginia has become a permanently Democratic state or that Ohio has become that. You're now seeing these states returning to normal kinds of numbers that we saw in the 90s or before. And so the world is shifting back to some Republican strengths. And so you'll see that reflected, I think, in the outcomes next year. So yes, any president faces that. The other thing from the limited government perspective we ought to keep in mind that I think is hopeful is the scholars have looked at the public mood, and there's no doubt the public mood was shifting toward more government in 2006 and 2008. But what has also been found in the past is that once the public mood is satisfied, as it were, you elect a president like Obama who seems to promise more spending, then it almost immediately begins shifting the other way. So I don't have the data yet, but it's pretty clear, I think, that there's a shift the other way on out there in the public, and that you haven't seen any rise in trust in the federal government. You've seen the opposite. And I think there's probably also maybe even a cratering of a desire for more spending, given the whole situation. And the other thing I would say is that I do know from studies that have been done that the support for spending that brought Obama to office was weaker than the trend that brought other presidents to office. In other words, there was a growth in a desire for spending that brought Obama to office, but it was much weaker than Clinton and certainly much, much weaker than LBJ. So this has been charted over the years. So in other words, the shift that was not favorable to limited government was less to begin with, and it's going back the other way is what I would say at this point.
To improve the likelihood that a 2010 GOP majority, if it were to emerge, will actually be led by ideas that are agreeable to both conservatives and libertarians, is it good then for Republicans to, at this juncture, not have a clear expectation that they will retake either the House or Senate?
Well, at this point, I think the party just needs time to sort itself out. I mean, the important thing for us, people who care about limited government, is to get the message out. Why did the disasters of 2006 and 2008 happen? Why was that? In my view, it was because beginning in 1997, you see a shift away from the message that brought Ronald Reagan to office and was really central to the 1994 victory, which was a limited government message. And the results of that, primarily, of course, also the results of the Iraq War, led to 2006, 2008. The Republicans have, you know, it's only been a few months in a way. The people who are in office and work in the party have to assimilate the message that that was a bad idea, not as ideas, but politically. And that process is beginning. That's why I say, in a way, I don't want them in the majority yet. I want that message of the Bush compassionate conservatism disaster to fully permeate this party so that if they do come back in 2012 with a president and maybe a majority in one house, you've got a different party that has moved away from the mistakes of 1997 and afterwards.
John Samples is director of the Cato Institute Center for Representative Government. You can read more of his work at cato.org.